think in the heart of every Christian, there's a consciousness that this prayer must play a big part. You know, we hear a lot about it, and we've had little touches, little tastes of what happens as we pray, and yet I think we all long to know more. And what we're going to do this morning is trust the Lord to maybe remind us. I don't expect to share with you anything new. Don't be disappointed. I have no funny idea that I might be able to impart some new truth to you that you've never heard before. But you know, I've found that what most of us need is just to be reminded of what we already know, because we'll get so busy and so gung-ho in one area of our life, we'll forget about things that we have known very, very well at other times. So this is maybe to put together some of the things that you've gleaned and heard and have known of at different times, if we can just get them together this morning, in order that our prayer life be enriched, be strengthened, be more effective. Now, when you think of prayer, what do you think of? What is prayer to you? What's that?
Talking to God.
Okay. That is one part of it. Talking to God. All right. That's the other part. Letting God talk to us and us hearing what he says. For so long, praying was talking to God, and it was me going every day and me just talking and telling him the problems I had, telling him that I loved him, and just telling him how much I needed him and how much I needed direction and guidance and all these things. But I did not realize that I'd jump up most of the time and take off, and I didn't give him a chance to say a thing. So it was a big milestone for me when I realized that prayer is talking with God, not just to God. To him, yes, but with him. Now, do you know, we have already been talking with him. We have, what I want to do is, many of you have seen the little prayer book, the prayer and Bible study guide. I don't know, some of you probably already have them. Maybe there are many of you that have never seen them, don't even know what I'm talking about. But there is this, it's called the 2959 plan. And of course, most people wonder, what in the world is it called that for? Well, the idea was to encourage you to spend at least 29 minutes and 59 seconds, or at least give God 30 minutes of your day. At least. And through the years, I found that many times, although I might spend a lot of time in prayer, in some way it never seemed quite complete. Maybe I would go in one morning and my heart would be just bursting with praise, and I would just thank the Lord and thank the Lord and thank the Lord. And all of a sudden, you know, it was time to go, and that was the end of it. Or maybe I'd go in and there was, all I had on my mind was just unburdening. And that's what I would do, and that would be the end of it. And yet there was never quite the satisfaction. And some years ago, I found this prayer hand that has become a guide to me in my quiet time. And I would like to share that with you. And this same hand has been used in this this guide, the 2959. And what I found, that many of you probably already have a prayer guide, the way that, you know, a plan that you've already worked out that's very satisfying to you. And if you have, that's fine. This is in no way to tell you, well, drop that and this one's better. This is just another guide. But I would suggest, if you do not have a guide for the time that you use, the time that you spend with God, that you try this until you do develop your own. Now, this prayer hand, you'll see soon that I'm... What we have done already is we have, in the book, it is called Adoration. You won't be able to see this. I'll just write it up there anyway. Adoration and Thanksgiving. Adoration being praise. You might want to just say praise, since we don't use the word adoration that often, but it is the word that's used in the book. And Thanksgiving. Now, I don't know why you would ask a question like that.
The
thumb. It's the little thumb. I can see why you would ask that question. For a long time, I had the feeling that the first thing I needed to do when I went to the Lord in the morning was to search my heart for any sin that might be there. And do you know what I found? I found that if I started there, I never seemed to rise above myself in my praying. You say, but God won't hear you if there's unconfessed sin. That's right. And if you know that there is anything standing between you and God, just take care of it and first thing. But if we need to keep our sin account up to date, take care of it when it comes along. That should be a prayer of yours, that you'll become so sensitive to the things in your life that are not pleasing to the Lord, that the minute that they transpire, you'll be made conscious of them, and you'll let him forgive you then and cleanse you then and feed you that again and move on. So if there's something you definitely know stand between you and God, then do take care of that first. But if not, I suggest that you start as we have done this morning, looking at him first. You know, if you've thought about God and who he is and what he is, didn't that mean a lot to you? It did to me. To think again about what I already know. I know he's creator. But when I think about that this morning, he not only is creator and all those big things, but he loves me. He has done specific things just for me. When I start my time, my quiet time, looking at him. It strengthens my faith. It makes a difference when I come to my needs because I've seen what he can do. I've gotten a glimpse again. I've been reminded today. Well, that mighty God can certainly take care of these little things that I have that I'm concerned with. So it strengthens my faith. But even more important than that, do you know, when you worship, when you praise, when you give adoration and thanksgiving to God, do you know what that does to him? We sang already this morning that we were created for his pleasure. Now, a lot of us, although we've never really said it, we live like he was created for our pleasure. And our thoughts of God is going to him to get what we need to make us happy. And for many of us, that's what our prayer life is. Going to God, getting from him what we need to make us happy. But the day that it dawned on me that Johnny Lord had the capacity to make the Lord God Almighty happy. That just kind of, was overwhelming. But all that gave a whole new dimension to my prayer time, my communication. You know yourself, of all the things that are we could say about God, the one that, as you study it, when you realize all the implications of it, the thing that he is most desirous of to recognize him is Father. When we see him as Father, then that will include him being Lord and include him being Savior and all these other wonderful things that he is, but he is first and foremost a Father that produced children to give him pleasure. Now, when I consider that as the reason for me being created, then I go to looking for everything that I can do and be and incorporate in my life to give him pleasure, because then his purpose for my creation will be realized. And when you know yourself that when you do what you're supposed to do, you are satisfied. That's the way you are fulfilled too. So when I finally got my focus off of God doing what I needed to make my life full and happy and meaningful, and I got myself out of focus and became focused in on giving him pleasure, then it's so special to start the day in praising him, because he says that gives him pleasure. It's suggested that in this plan, this guide for our prayer time, that it's good to be specific, just as we were this morning. Mention something physical, something material, somebody. Just be specific and thank him, as we already have. We have already done the first two things on our prayer plan, our prayer hand, together. Now, after I've gazed on him, it makes that I'm very desirous to be clean and pure and holy, and all that I need to be and all that he wants me to be. So I say, Lord, would you show me anything in my life this morning that you're not pleased with? And then it's time for confession. Now, I tell you, I used to say, when I thought of confession of sin, I'd say, Lord, show me the sin in my life. But, you know, we have sin in such categories. If it's not some big bad act, then we feel justified. We feel all right. So I was so far out in my understanding of all the things I told you last night about how important it was just to be transparent and open before the Lord, until I started out sin. Well, that didn't do it. And then I finally got to the place where I could say, okay, Lord, anything you're not happy with, because I tell you, some of the things that I found out that he was not happy with weren't necessarily sin in my sight at all. But he was not happy because they had the wrong place in my life. And I had to confess them because they were, just had the wrong place. My priorities were mixed up, and every once in a while, when I opened my heart to the Lord and say, now, Lord, show me this morning anything you're not happy with, some priority has slipped. Something has maneuvered in there and taken precedence over the things that God knows are best for me. And those are the things that are responsible for maybe a frustration that's begun to creep into my life. So at this time, I find in the morning it's so good not to just think of confession in terms of sin, but freeing him to show me anything that he's not happy about. Now, I think it would be very good if you took just a few minutes and you let him do that very thing right now. Let him show you anything that he's not happy with. Well, don't you want to make him happy? Don't you want to fulfill his purpose for designing you in the first place? Isn't that the desire that you really have down there? Well, maybe you've done this before, but that's all right. Let's do it again. Some of you might not have had the opportunity to pray those three prayers. Some of you might not have had the opportunity to ask the Lord to show you what he saw. Now, I don't want you to miss the opportunity. And when you get home, listen, this is so important. I kid you not, it doesn't matter how good your resolution is, I'm going to do that soon when I have time. Honey, there just ain't going to be a convenient time. So I'm just going to give you a convenient time right now so you won't miss out on this chance. to give him that opportunity to show you what he sees. And if there's anything he's not happy with, just agree with him. Don't argue with him and don't try to justify it and don't make excuses. That's a waste of your time because he's not going to lift his finger till you go ahead and agree with him. That's just what it is. It's S-I-N. And he wants you to experience freedom in that thing, freedom in that area. And he knows that you're not going to be happy until you let him get rid of that trash, cleanse the stain away, and then fill it with his self, that area of your life, fill it with his spirit, his attitude, his response to that very thing that's been eating and gnawing and aggravating you and causing you frustration. So right now, let's see what time is it. 10:30. Something real important I want to share with you about confession. If the devil cannot keep us from being honest, he'll run us in the other ditch if we're not sensitive. There is all the difference in the world in being introspective. You digging around and looking under everything in your life and in your heart, making sure that everything's all right. That's not what we're talking about. When you think of confessing the things in your life that are not wrong, you remember that it is the work of the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind, to make you aware of these things. Do not sit around, become introspective. Depression is not of the Lord. When you have a big spirit, a cloud of gloom holding over you, a spirit of gloom that seems to be over you and envelop you and make you feel what a rotter you are and how terrible, and you just feel under condemnation, that's not the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's not the way he works at all. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, he says, "Hey, Johnny, you reacted resentfully. You were resentful yesterday." He is very specific for that apprehension that's got hold of you is fear. He's very specific. Do not sit around and introspection, trying to make sure that everything is A-okay. I know one of the hardest things for me to ever accept was that I could accept the fact that the Lord had cleansed and filled me. And I'd think, well, I'm not perfect yet. I could never say that the work of conviction's over. I could never accept my righteous condition before the Lord. I mean, after all, who do you think you are? You're not Miss Perfect. So, see now, the devil drops enough innuendos and twist things just enough to keep us from realizing the joy and the peace that God has provided. So, when you ask the Lord to show you, or when he just breaks in and shows you sin in your life, as you're reading the Word and he says, hey, that's you, or you hear somebody preach or share, you feel that underlined in your heart, or light thrown in that direction where you had never even seen it before. All he's doing is not to make you feel condemned. He's showing you so you will confess it. Write the scripture, if you do not know it, under confession. 1 John 1:9. Remember, we said that is for Christians. You agree. Confession simply means agree with God. So you agree with God that that is wrong, you confess it. Then you accept his forgiveness and his cleansing. I'll tell you something else. Don't fall in the trap that I did. And I remember I have at times, until I realized this, wasted so much emotional energy in remorse. I think that I had the idea, well, if I am remorseful enough, that'll convince the Lord how sorry I am. That's just another subtle trick of the evil one. The Lord doesn't want us to be remorseful. He wants us to repent. Don't waste any time wallowing around in your guilt and condemnation. The minute you become aware of it, just admit it. Agree with him. Yes, Lord, that's right. Thank you for showing it to me. Because the reason he showed it to you, he wants you to be free of it. He has come to set us free. Free to be what he designed us for in the first place. Free to function at our maximum potential. And he knows, the reason he puts his finger on things in our lives, he knows those are the things that are hindering us. He's not a old meanie. He's love. That's an act of love, because he knows those very things are the things that are hindering us from joy and peace and freedom. So don't either resist his conviction nor wallow in remorse. You see, what he was sharing with me, how important it was, the Lord really does make a lot of sense when you get down to it. It was as if he said, you know, here you are wallowing in remorse, trying to convince me how sorry you are, as if that would make me happy. I'm a lot happier to be able to forgive and cleanse and fill that with my spirit, and you be on your way. You're more of a credit to me than all this time we're wasting. Okay. So, confession is not a, in his love, he wants to set us free. And that's what that's all about. Okay. Then there's intercession. Intercession? Praying for others. I believe the thing that the Lord wants me to share with you about intercession is just another personal illustration in our family. It was really the way he taught me how to pray. First for my children, and then it's a principle that can be used in praying for anyone. And our daughter Susan, who is now married, was in junior high. That was a new era in our family. Susan, at that time, was, I don't know how to be kind and say what I need to say to describe our situation, because it was just bad. Any way you looked at it, it was bad. I guess one of the best ways to help give you a picture would be let's just see Susan coming in from school one afternoon. At this point in her life, she was in the eighth grade. We had just moved to Titusville. She was very overweight. It was the time of when the girls started wearing their hair straight, long and straight. You know, that was when they put it on the ironing board and iron it, make sure it was straight enough. Well, Susan's hair was just about here. It hadn't made it down yet. She would come in, and her shirt tail would most likely be half hanging out. This hair strung across here. She probably would have her shoes in her hand. And all the papers hanging out of her books right now. Now, I could be the only one in the house. And when she walked in, I could be embarrassed to death. That's fine. Well, you see, I took that as a sign of my failure as a mother. And it, you know, I think, well, I've got to help this girl. I've got to train her. I mean, the days are going by, and I sure hadn't done anything so far. And so, as she'd come in the door, I would begin my training. And it would proceed till evening. Well, Susan is a very strong-willed person. And Susan could just tack me up to the wall and leave me hanging there. Wouldn't bother her one bit. Oh, I remember the times I'd pray, oh God, just take that strong will away from Susan. But as this situation just simply got worse, I got so disturbed with myself, because you see, she was bringing things out of me I didn't even know I had in me. I did, in my frustration, what to do, I was doing the wrong thing every time. So, I went to God in desperation. Now, Lord, and this is when He taught me how to intercede. There's much more, I'm sure, that I haven't learned, but I can share this, what I have learned with you. As I went to Him in desperation, Lord, what can I do for Susan? Look at the problem I've got. He said, well, number one, we'll never be able to help Susan until we get some things set, taken care of in your life. Guess what the first one was? Pride. And there was nothing to do could agree with God that my heart was full of pride. I was embarrassed because people knew that she was my daughter. So I had to agree and confess pride as a sin. And you know something else he showed me? He showed me how self-centered I was in the whole situation. He said, Johnny, you've got your focus wrong, because I was seeing it as, look what a problem I've got. Susan is my problem. What am I going to do with my problem? And he showed me that I wasn't the one having a problem. I was relating it to me, but Susan was the one having the problem. And if I could get my focus on her need, her need was met, I wouldn't have a problem. I had the focus all wrong. He showed me that all these things that I was trying to pick, all these bad fruit that I was trying to pick, really fruit that had a root. And I was really just wasting my time, because as we got one thing taken care of, there would be something else pop up to deal with. And it was so sweet. He showed me that all these things were really just windows into Susan's heart. And if I'd let him, he'd show me through the window why she was doing what she was doing. Where intercession comes in. And when I began asking God to show me not how to change what she's doing, but why she was doing what she was doing, he was able to show me something that nobody else would have ever been able to show me. I'd have never, there was no way I could have figured it out. Because I found out we were dealing with a lie. He showed me that Susan was not convinced that we loved her as much as we loved Richard. And I said, but Lord, you know that's not true. Yeah, I know it's not true, and you know it's not true, but as long as Susan thinks it's true, that's the problem. That's what she's dealing with. I didn't know it at the time, but she was having problems at school, too. So, one of her counselors told us just a few, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, we were at an awards banquet, and she says, there's a story I've never told you about Susan when she was in junior high. She said, one day, they brought Susan into me, and I said, Susan, if they send you into me one more time, I'm calling your parents. So the next day, I looked up, and there's Susan. See, what I'm saying is, Susan was having the problem. I wasn't having a problem. The problem was not mine, the problem was hers. But I had it focused in on poor me. Look at all the trouble I'm having. You see? She said the next day, looked up and there was Susan, and she said, Susan, you know what I told you. She said, oh, Miss Jordan, please don't call home today. She says, my mother's gone and my daddy just might kill me. Oh, dear. But the truth is, her mother might have been the one to kill her. But showed me that, that was so hard for me to accept. But you see, this is why, this is where intercession comes in. I go to God in behalf of my child. He knows her heart. He is able to communicate to me her heart need. Then I know how to trust him to meet and change inside of her heart. Nobody else knew that. Only God. So my prayer then became, will God show me today how to begin communicating the love I have in my heart to Susan? Well, day after day, during times of talking with him, he would put little thoughts in my mind. And I learned that was his way of answering my prayer. When I would do those things that he put in my mind to do, at first they were all different. There were things I'd have never done. And so I thought, well, I'm not going to do that. I didn't know it was the Lord at first. I had to get tuned in. Then one day the Lord says, well, if you're going to do what you've always been doing, it hadn't worked. You don't think I'm going to lead you to do that, do you? You said, yeah, I mean, he naturally what he led me to do was something I hadn't been doing, because what I'd been doing didn't work. So what it really means when we get serious in praying for someone else, it usually costs us something. And buddy, it sure did cost me. Because he just completely upset my schedule. At that point in time, she'd just gotten into junior high. All through elementary school, the program was, while they were gone and away at school, I'd do all the shopping, I'd do any baking that needed to be done, anything messy, get it all finished before the kids came in. The Lord showed me that if I was ever going to convince Susan that I loved her and enjoyed being with her, that one of the ways to do this was to include her in some of the shopping trips, in some of the cooking, and things that were just easier to do without her. But you see, she knew too that they were easier to do without her. And so that was a part of communicating to her that I really did love her and I really did want her with me. Because she could see that it was more trouble, you know. It was just obvious. And it didn't happen just like that. But over a period of time, as I interceded, God gave me the way for his prayer, for my prayer to be answered. He began developing a bond between the two of us that was so precious. During her high school years, we cried together about a lot of the dates she didn't get for those special times. But you see, what happened was, after God was able to get Mother taken care of, and I was beginning to know what to trust him for in Susan's life, she just happened to go away to a retreat one weekend. And at that retreat, the last one to turn loose and give in to the Lord just happened to be Susan. And you know that strong will I had asked God to take away from her? Sometime in this time, he'd said to me one day, why do you want me to take it away from her? I'm the one that gave it to her in the first place. You just trust me to convert it into what I put it in her for. She wouldn't go with anybody if he didn't have Christian principles and standards for his life. If it meant everybody else went to that big event with her. Now, like I say, we'd cry together, and we'd pray together that God would just be faithful to her, and it doesn't, I'm not saying that your kids won't ever have a date, because Ruthie coming along now, it's a different story with her. She's 17, and she's dating more than Susan did when Susan was in high school. So each, God knows what each one of those children need, and he can be trusted, and you can just encourage them along to believe him. And let me tell you, that Susan, she'll stand on any soapbox and tell the girls, hang on, girls, what God's getting ready for you is better than anything you could settle for, because she thinks she got Mr. It. And I'm pretty convinced of that, too. The Lord has given her a wonderful man to be a part of his life. And he was the sort, if she'd gotten sidetracked back along the way, he wouldn't have been interested in her. God knew what he was doing. But that's the power of intercession. See, I wasn't able, doing the best I knew, to even know what her problem was. But he did. And you know, God does such a beautiful job in situations like that. As we go to him and trust him. When, Susan is married now, but about 4 years ago, Susan was working with the Home Mission Board in Texas. And one day, this card came in the mail. It was a beautiful card. And my heart just kind of leaped. I thought, oh, that's the prettiest card. Too bad she stuck it in the wrong envelope. Because you see, on the front of the card it said, to my best friend. And I opened it up inside, and it was just one of those heart jerkers, you know. And at the end it says, Mother, you'll never know what it means to me that you're not only my mother, but you're my best friend. My thoughts went immediately back to junior high. When Mother was botching it up, coming and going, the best she knew how. But God was able to build a bridge. And that has been one of the sweetest relationships. As a matter of fact, Ruthie coming along has said, Mother, I want you to be my best friend just like you are Susan's. Because she could see what that has meant to both Susan and I, and she wanted to get in on it. And so the Lord is continuing to give me that same precious relationship with daughter number two. Not because I'm anything. I messed up. But he knew. Now, Ruthie has benefited from the mistakes I made with Susan. And the principle of when you see a problem developing, going to God, seeing that problem as a window, asking him to show you why those things are happening. I've asked him to make me sensitive with Ruthie as she came along, and then John is behind. We have a 9-year-old, a 17-year-old, a 24-year-old, a 26-year-old, and a 27-year-old. And I have one grandchild, grandson, and I'm waiting on the other one, hoping this, it'll get here before I leave, before the retreat's over, so I can see it before I go home. It will be in Texas. But anyway, as I have seen attitudes cropping up in the other children, when something would become more and more dominant, a bad attitude, I've been able to say, now Lord, why is she acting like that? This is intercession. Mercy. A part of it. There's more to intercession. And he will be able, he has been able to show me why every Thursday she got sick and didn't want to go to school. On Thursday, I began to see a pattern setting in. And every Thursday, she just didn't feel like going to school. This was when she was down in third or fourth grade, I don't remember which. But it, to illustrate, by picking up on it early, we were able to prevent a big, bad problem. God put it in my mind to ask her a question when she wasn't talking about her tummy ache. I asked her one day on Wednesday, what do you do tomorrow, Ruthie, in school? God put it in my mind to ask what happened on Thursday. She didn't know that it, you know, well, anyway. Well, on Thursday was the day that the art teacher came. And I can't ever do anything that looks good. I don't even like to see her come in the door. And before she knew it, she had just painted the picture of what the problem was. Now, my next thing is, Lord, what do you do? Because I was the same way about art. Now, Lord, help me to know what to say to this child, because I can totally sympathize with her. And he was able. But you see, I'd have just said, now, this is a bunch of foolishness. You know, come on, you're going to school, or I would have pampered her and all this. You know, we try everything when we don't know what's in their heart. But when we can go to God, and he knows what's in their heart, and he can show us how to minister, how to be a part of answering our prayer. It's not a waste of time to get up early in the morning. Praise him, love him, let him know how grateful you are. So much you want to make him happy, so much that you're willing to let him change anything in your life he's not pleased with. And then you can go to him in behalf of others, and he can guide you how to be his channel. That's so exciting to me, that I can be God's channel to reach out and touch inside of somebody. Well, you'll find that if you do not have a plan for intercession, you might want to look at the 2959 plan. As a matter of fact, when we come back in after break, I'm going to have them scattered all around, and I want you to have one where you can look at it. You know, and then afterwards, if you want it, somebody will take your money. But if you don't, just leave it on the seat. But this can be very helpful in giving you guidance in your quiet time. And this primarily deals with intercession. And they have just recently, some of you have had the 959 and then the 2959. Well, this one, the latest book that they've put them both together, and there's a Bible study in the front as well as the prayer guide in the back. So I'd like for us to take a break. And this is what I want you to do on break time. You've been so cooperative. I just cannot thank you enough for how cooperative you've been. I'm going to ask you to do something a little hard, but I'll appreciate you cooperating with this, because I believe that the Lord put the suggestion in my mind, and I want you to benefit from what he's got in mind. Okay? Would you find somebody you do not know and take the break time with them? Maybe they got to go to the y'all go to the bathroom together and get a drink of water together, but get acquainted with somebody you do not know. And then come back in and share prayer requests that you will write down. And maybe it'll be somebody from another community and you'd like to exchange addresses. I don't know what God might what might develop as a result of this, but I want you to share at least two requests that you will commit, that the other will commit themselves for trusting God to do. Okay? Now, let's see. I'm like you. I don't know whether that's the thumb of the little finger there that's so big. Now, it's taken us all morning, and we haven't done the fifth of these five things. Do not dare let that get you discouraged and say, my heavens, I'd never, if that's a plan for a daily prayer time, I'll have to quit doing everything else and just devote myself to prayer. No, we have deliberately stretched it out and gotten into it and thought about it and talked about it. But you must not, feel like it's a burdensome thing that's going to take up too much of your time. The Lord is wise. He will not, He will not even have you praying more than you should. He'll not even get your praying out of balance. And that's wonderful to know, that He doesn't call on us to do more of any one thing than He will give us wisdom and strength and time to do. The problem is we get our priorities all messed up. But I see there was one thing I wanted to mention. While I'm thinking about it, I better mention it, because I had not written it down any place. But I trust that every last one of you are convinced that it's essential, if you're ever to have a meaningful life, for you to have a time that is committed specifically to spending with the God who designed your life. Okay. You need a specific time and a specific place, or you'll waste an awful lot of time in the mornings getting all your stuff together. You could be right into the Word and praying if you had. They're just a lot of little practical things. Have a special place and a special time. Now, I had, remember, I told you about those days when I drew circles and got in a circle. There was, to confess my sin, there was one thing that kept coming up year after year when I drew that circle. I would have to confess an inconsistent quiet time. Well, that was so frustrating to me. So terribly frustrating. I was convinced that was the only way. And what's more, that's what I wanted to do. Well, finally I had it worked out where I did have a place and I did have a time. And I was, you know, felt pretty good about it. But then the next year we were having a revival, and what had happened, everybody was getting blessed but Johnny. Well, I couldn't stand that. You know, everybody was just buzzing about, oh, the Lord is really doing great things in their life, and this is what He told them. Well, He hadn't told me a thing. And the whole week had gone through, and it was Saturday morning, and I was getting left behind, and I didn't like it. And I said to my husband, I said, honey, you're just going to have to keep the kids this morning and let me go to your office and see if I can't find out what's wrong. Well, when I did, of all things, the Lord put His finger on an inconsistent quiet time. Well, I've been frustrated with myself all these other years. Well, I kid you not, I was thoroughly frustrated with God that morning. Because I said, Lord, you know that it is my desire, and the only time I do not have a consistent quiet time is when somebody else from the outside interrupts. Maybe it's a phone call, maybe it's a caller or somebody else. But there was that finger. Well, in my frustration, I did listen after giving all my good explanation, and I was told, well, Johnny, if you cannot be sure of an unbroken quiet time, then you're just going to, in the schedule that you have, you're just going to have a longer day. I knew very good and well he didn't mean that it'd have to be later, because by then I was so bushed anyway, I could hardly find my way to the bed at night. You know, there was a new baby after 8 years of not having a baby at our house. And so it could only mean me getting up earlier in the morning. Well, at that time, our income was so close. That's when I learned the secret of praying up and down the grocery aisles. And I sure am glad I did. It comes in good today. But I said, by then I was so determined that it didn't matter what it took, nothing was going to rob me of the peace between me and God that I was doing what pleased Him. And I said, Lord, you know we don't have an alarm clock, but that's all right. I'm going to take what I have to out of the grocery money, and I'm going down right now, and I'm going to see that nothing is going to hinder whatever it comes. Well, I went down, and as ironic as it was, the next morning, I would see blaring in the pages, Walgreens alarm clocks for sale, $2.98, and I had to pay $5 for mine. But you know, there was just a quiet peace in my heart. I knew I was down, finally getting down to business, really. Whatever it took. And so it was wonderful how the Lord fed us that week and $5 short, but I was so excited. I want to tell you before we get off of the price I had to pay, you will not probably have any problem buying an alarm clock like I did. Most likely have one, and if you don't, it probably will not be such a drastic stretch of your budget to buy one. But I'll tell you something. It will cost you anything that important. The devil is not going to allow you to just very conveniently get established in your quiet time. It's going to cost you something. I kid you not. So when something comes up that makes it look like it's just too hard, there's just no way, just hang in there. There is a way. And God will show you how. But that shows you how vital it is for the devil to give you some aesthetic about it. So hang in. Well, let me tell you. I just knew that glory was going to come down the next morning at 5 o'clock when I proved to God how serious I was. You know, I really couldn't wait to see what he was going to do that morning. Well, the truth was, I hadn't been sitting there very long before I went promptly to sleep. And the truth is that the same thing happened the next morning. And the next morning, well, by the next morning, I was wondering where that finger was that had always bugged me. You know? It wasn't there. So I asked him about that. Now, Lord, you know what's happening every morning. I'm getting up, but I'm going to sleep. And that's when he showed me something that is so important. He says, Johnny, I'm more concerned with
your obedience than your performance. He's much more concerned with our obedience than our ability to perform. And when we hang in there in obedience, you see, it wasn't very long before my body made the adjustment that it needed. And I was able to stay awake. And I was able to have a precious time with him in the mornings. Now, we're supposed to be into petition, but I felt that the Lord wanted me to share that with you. So, because it's so easy for us to get just slightly diverted from those things that are vital. And we accept all the excuses that Satan floods our minds with that causes us the freedom to justify. But let me tell you, you just be sensitive enough to know that anything that he gives you so much static about, my husband says, that's just a scarecrow to keep you out of God's good corn. So let the scarecrows be a sign to you. There's something good God's got there that the devil's trying to keep you from. Okay, we shared and praised and thanked and confessed. And I trust you. Did you all find your partner? And you now have requests that you're going to pray for that one in the days ahead. Then there is petition. That's all I knew anything about for so long. That's our prayers for ourselves. The only thing, the prayers I prayed for myself were different than the ones I'm going to share with you this morning. Before I get into the things that I feel like he wants me to share, let me tell you that God is interested when you need a new dress. And he is interested when you need a new car. And he does care what style your hair is. That just came to mind because I remember the hours I used to spend in the beauty parlor. Well, I had it all worked out, and I had a peace about it at that time because I had it figured that's when I did a certain part of my lesson preparation for Sunday school. And that was fine, and the Lord never convicted me at that time about it, but there came a time in my life where the Lord got ready for me to change my hairstyle. And I kid you not, it was important. It was important because it meant so much to my husband and my children. Now, this is not to say that everybody has the same situation. And everybody's supposed to that has children the ages of mine should wear their hair like I wear mine. Now, I don't mean that. You know I don't mean that. But it was just important to them. And it's become a freedom to me. And I know God led me to get my hair cut in a way that I could take care of it in the shower and blow dry it and take off running. And then it didn't matter when my hair appointment was if the family wanted to go to the beach or if they wanted to do something that I always had to just watch them do if it didn't fit in right. But anyway, that's just to show you that God does care about all those things. And he does. It is important to him, and don't get the idea, don't ever make the mistake that you pray about things that are important enough to pray about and you leave the other things undone. Long ago, I learned when I had something coming up that I really needed something for, I could ask the Lord. And you know how He is so practical, even in his giving. I never will forget a woman called me one day and said, "Johnny, what size shoe do you wear?" And I told her, and she says, "Well, I did the craziest thing the other day. I went and bought a pair of shoes I thought was so pretty. But they weren't even my shoe size." She says, "What size do you wear?" I says, "It doesn't matter what size those shoes are. God knew I was trusting him for a pair of shoes. They'll fit whatever size they are." And they did. God had her buy me a pair of shoes. My size, not hers. I needed that. I did not have a closet full of shoes, and I just wanted one of the latest styles or something. I needed a pair of shoes. I was going someplace, and I would not have been a credit to him in the shoes I had. So it was important to his glory. I have a new pair of shoes. And I'm so grateful that I learned that. And you know, one of his provisions for me right now, there's a lady in our church that he put it on her heart to sew for me. Now, I do not know what she's making, when she's making, what style she's making, or when she's going to get it finished. But he does. And almost everything I wear is something that she made. What I had on last night, she made the top and she made the jumper. I got these two on sale, so she didn't have to make these. But it is amazing. Now, it isn't. Like, there have been times I could not afford to buy a dress when I needed it. Well, we could manage for me to buy a dress now if I needed it. But God knows right now that I have better use for my time than all the time it takes to shop. So he's just as interested in providing the time I need. And see what a loving father he is? He's interested in everything about us. And that's what one part of petitioning is going to him with the needs you have and trusting him. And if you find a desire in your heart, give it to him, and he'll either change the desire or he will grant that desire. You give him the desires as well as the needs, and he'll either change the desire or he'll give it to you. Because he promised to give us the desires of our heart. A lot of those need working on. And that's what he'll do if he needs to. But he'll give us the desires of our heart. But what I really think, well, it's almost time. I don't think I'm going to get into what I really think the Lord wants me to share with you. We'll do that after lunch. But I'll just tell you what we're going to do. You remember last night I shared with you how God revealed a heart full of resentment and fear, primarily. There were other things, but those were the two basic motivating forces that were driving me. And so after I acknowledged those things, after he cleansed and forgave me, and I became aware of the truth that all of him lived in me, one of my first prayers was, "Now, Lord, I'm still living in the same situation. You haven't changed that. The same circumstances. Now, how am I going to react to the very same things? In love, and free of fear, and faith." And that's what I want to share with you when we come back after lunch. How he can change those things inside of us that are responsible for the problems that we're undergoing right now. And he can.